Oh,
Obviously,
yeah. No, yeah, generally, I am quite good at that
you're
as well.
very forgiving of me. You let me get away with murder, Emma. I don't know why. I don't know how I've won that accolade from you. Hi, guys. Welcome to the live. So, a couple of bits of admin that we want to go through with you all. Emma and I are surprisingly a week late to upload the workouts. So, are we?
I actually think we did that on purpose for progressive
Yeah.
overload.
Totally intentional. We thought we were in week four. We're not. We're in week five. And we need to upload them at the end of week four or the beginning of week five. And we've done neither. I've had a weirdly, I think, and the reason we've even figured this out in the first place is because people have been tagging me weirdly recently, even though I uploaded these other workouts in week two, asking if they should be doing the splits, the body part splits, or the push pull. And I'm again, it's odd because these were uploaded 3 weeks ago now. Sorry, I'm just, look at my hair. I haven't washed it in 4 days. It's so bad. And so the reason I uploaded the push pull was because some of the grads came back and asked if I could. And we try not to do that, to be totally honest with you, because A, we know how to program you. And B, we don't want so many workouts on the app that people get confused, like what's just started to happen now. Like this is a perfect example of that happening. So we try just program you and tell you to basically suck it up and get on with it. But obviously, we love our grads, and if they want push pull, we will give them push pull. So we did. However, you ideally, I would want you doing 4 workouts a week. I mean, I know we say a minimum of three, but for me and my programming in an ideal world, I'd have you doing either 2 upper and 2 lower a week or 2 push and 2 pull a week. This is all at home, by the way. This doesn't apply to the gym workouts, which Emma does. And if you have to drop one because you can only do three, drop one, that's fine. Don't do the same session back to back. Other than that, I'm happy for you guys to pick which workouts you, well, which kind of workouts you like. I don't want you doing a bit of everything, if that makes sense. The second, Emma, do you have
On
anything
that
on?
point, yeah, just on that point, because just to like reiterate this, if you do, for example, on that, like some of Chloe's push pull and some of the full body, like the likelihood is you're not going to hit full body in the way that we want you to, right? This is where it gets a little bit confusing. Again, it's not the end of the world because it, you know, something is always better than nothing. But if you're like, oh, I do half gym, half home, then it's a little bit harder just to make sure that we are hitting all the body parts we want to hit. Again, it's not impossible. It's not rocket science. But like, if you're doing different parts of different workouts, you might not be getting the full benefit. So,
Exactly.
if you were like, for example, I want to do, I don't know, the pull from the first block of workouts, then the push from the second block of workouts, it's like, I'd rather you just stuck to one block and stayed with it, because otherwise we're putting in different exercises and it just doesn't match up quite the same. Like they are programmed, but like they are thought out. They are programmed. Like we do sit down and look at these things and make sure that there's the right exercises for the right muscle groups within the program as a whole.
Yeah.
So like between all of them, it's not as effective.
And on that, kind of a microcosm of that, we do have the exercises in the order that they're in for a very good reason. So instead of being like, oh, I'll just switch up the order because that's taken, just do the alternative. So if you can't get on the, the squat rack, do a heavy goblet squat. And of course, it's less taxing on the body, of course, but it's still something that we would rather that you do rather than be like, oh, it's okay, I'll go over and do lateral raises first now. Something to think about. We want the big compound lifts in there first as they use more muscles. So we need to recruit those muscle fibers as best we can at the beginning of the workout. And then as we come down into more isolated movements like a lateral raise, we're happy with that. Now, the second thing I want to talk about, we touched on, and we have been touching on for a year now is Empic, of course, and we touched on it in the last live. And I said, because this is something that's anecdotal, that is something that I don't know, how much are people actually eating on Ozempic? How much are they actually consuming? Because I don't know. Most of my female friends who are already in great shape are taking it, which I will go into in a minute because I'm going to talk about this. but I've never thought to ask them how much are you actually eating on this. Now, we had a few posts from a few of you explaining this. Sarah Lynn's wife was on Ozempic or is on Ozempic. Another one of you's husband. There was a third client, and you all answered it. And to be fair, your answers were different, which makes sense given that different people respond differently to different things. And obviously, dosage is important as well. And that there were, it was very pro Ozempic. So I want to talk about this for a minute because I think it's really important that we talk about this. Emma and I are health and fitness coaches, meaning that even if you have a physique goal, which as you all know, we are all for, it is fine. It is our responsibility and should be yours, you know, as a human in a human body, to do it as healthily as possible, to make sure, for example, you don't drop your calories so low that you are malnourished, that you are not getting in your fruit, your veg, your whole grains, your fiber, your protein, your essential fatty acids. And if you want to do carbohydrates because you care about performance too, fine. It's our job to make sure that you are nutritionally healthy, even if your calories are in a deficit for you because you want to lose body fat. So we really try and do this in the most healthy way possible. So the argument like, oh, well, Ozempic is just another fat loss tool. Yes and no, it stops you eating. So some of the feedback that I've had from, and I did end up going to my friends and speaking to them about this, they're eating roughly one meal a day that they can't finish because they feel sick, because it obviously it affects your system, it affects how you feel. They can't finish it. A lot of them, not all of them, are still heavily drinking on it because, you know, my friends are party friends. They're still heavily drinking on it. So they're not eating. They're not getting any nourishment in. They're still having the negative things in their diet, which ideally as coaches, we would want to pull out to make room for the nutritious things in order to go low calorie and lose weight. The next thing I would say is a lot of them are finding that they are extremely tired because they're not eating and they're feeling very lethargic. So, and they're sleeping, they're napping a lot, right? When and where they can, which we see in people who are struggling with eating disorders. It's the same thing. It's a complete lack of energy, which means you're not going to be able to exercise. And we come back around to health again. So now we've done nutrition. What about exercise? What about fitness? What about cardiovascular health? What about hypertrophy? What about building muscle and reducing all-cause mortality, your quality and quantity of life? What about these big health touchstones here, which are being completely and utterly disregarded? So does that mean I'm anti-Ozempic? No, I'm pro-Ozempic for the right people, for the right reasons, which, by the way, is why it should be being used. People with type 2 diabetes and people who it's now been licensed for, who are in a very unhealthy BMI bracket, who are struggling with obesity and who are very much stuck and they need something to help. These people, Ozempic it all the way. And I have said this to my friends and they do know how I feel about it. People like my friends who are getting hold of it for cosmetic reasons, who absolutely don't need to lose body fat for health reasons, are now having a negative impact on their health, and I'm very much anti it. Now, I'm not, like I say, people be like, well, you love physique goals, like I've seen you get down to 12%. It's like, yeah, but I did it in the healthiest way possible. I was having protein every 3 or 4 hours. I was making sure that I had my fruit and veg every single day, and I knew when to stop. And you know,
I guess the other point is you didn't do it really quickly.
No, it took months.
So you were able to eat higher calories. Because actually a really real and not often talked about complication of Ozempic can be malnutrition, right? Because it becomes even more important what you're eating when you have limited your calories to so much, right? If you're only eating, you know, 600 to 800 calories a day, what you eat within those calories is really important. That's why when there are things like the Newcastle diet, which is a 600 to 800 calorie diet for specifically type 2 diabetics, most of that is taken up by a shake that has, or maybe it's two shakes, but anyway, the point being, like, has your like vitamins and minerals in it, has the right dosages of things so that you're not going to be deficient in anything. And this becomes actually quite, you know, most people who are eating like, I don't know, 1600 calories probably aren't going to have any deficiencies, right? As long as they have a varied diet and they're doing the basics and they're getting the fruit and veg in and stuff. But when you drop calories so low, it's a very real risk of, hey, you're not actually getting the things that you need to get in from your diet. And normally that kind of almost happens as a byproduct of the fact that you're eating enough, right? And some of that will include some fats and some vitamins and the parts of diet that we need. But when it's so limited, you need to be a bit more specific about that. I'd also go as far as to say, if you are on a diet like long-ish term that is that low, like you should be, you know, like having help from a dietitian.
Absolutely. It's completely unnecessary. Like I say, if you are if you are in the bracket of people who are now licensed to be prescribe it, fine. Everybody else, absolutely not. It's going to have negative, because on those two small brackets of people, not necessarily small, but those two brackets of people, this is for health. That's why it's for metabolic health. It is to stop the calorie influx, to reduce the body fat, so they get to a metabolically healthy body. For everybody else here, you are trading in your health for how you look. And Emma and I do not ship that. We do not support that. I want to be very clear about that. And also the tried and tested statistic, I think there've been what, three studies done on this now. 99.9% of people who stop taking it gain the weight back. So you're reducing your appetite only then, once you stop taking it, to regain all the way back, because you did learn nothing. And we'd say, you know, it's controversial to be like, well, it's cheating. You know, you should punish yourself into fat loss, or you didn't earn it. Okay, well, that's like a bit base, but it kind of is cheating, because you're cheating yourself, because you didn't learn anything. You didn't do anything. You didn't make any behavioral changes. And then also the final one, obviously we still don't know the long-term implications of it. You know, there are heavy suggestions, but they're just suggestions, as it's only been shown in rodents, that it can increase your likelihood of thyroid cancer. But at the same time, we don't know that for sure yet in humans. Although, Emma, you had to do a lot of research on this recently, didn't you? So is there any update on that?
I don't think we'll get much on like long-term implications. And sometimes this isn't to like negate the potential increase in that, but like Chloe's saying, for the right people, if there's a small increase in risk of thyroid cancer, which at a baseline level is very low in the general population, that might be worth it because of your reduced risk of, I don't know, breast cancer, because you're not overweight anymore. You know, like you've got to weigh the pros and cons. But this is a really good example of, if you're not overweight and you won't benefit, then actually just increasing your risk of a certain form of cancer certainly isn't a good trade-off, right? Whereas if you're like, actually, overall, my risk of death is lower because I've lost a substantial amount of body weight, which is so impactful to my health, that even with a slight increase in risk of thyroid cancer, that outweighs it, then fine. Like it's kind of a good example of like, it has to be right for the individual. Nothing's inherently good or bad. It's just dependent on the individual. And I think like Chloe and I spoke about this before, but one of the things that we wanted to do, and why we were like semi positive, not even positive, but not like, we don't want to be discriminating towards people that are taking it, right? And a lot of the fitness industry is like, oh, it's cheating, and oh, it's blah, blah, blah. And like Chloe saying that really doesn't caveat. Like for some people, you know, there's absolutely no judgment on our part. And for some people, it's the right choice. So that's what we wanted to open to, but not like,
For
it's not
everyone.
bad. Everyone should probably take it. Like that's definitely not
People
us.
say, well, like, you know, calorie deficit is a calorie deficit, and you try and, you know, trick your body out of eating so much in so many different ways. Why not this? And it's like, well, because you are absolutely, again, unless you are doing it for metabolic health reasons, whether you are type 2 diabetic or you are pre-diabetic, you are trading in your health for it, and you don't need to do that for fat loss. And so, and also, like I say, the people that I know who are taking it are getting to points now where they're missing out on actual social occasions because they're so tired that they can't really function in that environment. So yes, brilliant invention. Happy that it's been licensed for people who, as a weight loss drug, but the right people in the right brackets, and that's it.
The only other interesting thing that we haven't touched on is that, so for a lot of people, like one of the claims about this is like, okay, well, it just reduces your hunger, which means that if you're eating for another reason, i.e., say you struggle with binge eating or you're emotionally eating or something, it won't work. But actually, there's quite interesting research on binge eating. And one of the reasons that they think that it works is because it reduces your impulsivity.
Oh, that's
Yeah.
interesting.
So then which did make me think, you know, people who, for example, like ADHD has a much higher incidence of binge eating because it's such like most people are very impulsive if they struggle with ADHD. So I'm like, okay, well, if you're binging or overeating with food because of that like lack of impulse control, then that actually also might be like a case for where it might be useful. But yeah. It's still interesting. And even like ADHD is a good example, right? Because in an ideal world, you want to find a way via diet and exercise and lifestyle to manage your symptoms so that you don't need to take medication. Again, nothing against medication for the right people, but often it kind of like dulls you slightly, and like the slight
long-term side effects of Ritalin are very real and very scary. And like, and this is speaking as someone who's married to someone who was diagnosed with ADHD at a very young age, had to come off Ritalin when he started playing professional sport. And I've watched the, yeah, it's been, yeah, it's difficult. Anyway, Karen.
No, yeah, I mean, like every drug has side effects, right? So if you don't have to take it, but then even on the flip side of that, like some of the quote unquote benefits of ADHD, you know, like a lot of people are very creative or they have hyper-focus, or there's like, you know, you're 300%, apparently, I haven't fact checked this, but I read the other day that you're 300% more likely to start a business if you have ADHD.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
No, it doesn't at all. Like when you know business owners, it's like, yeah, it's pretty rife among us. But yeah, so there are obvious benefits when you can manage it well. And yeah, I just thought that was interesting. Read the...
It is interesting. And yeah, that these are just the points I wanted to make. But I appreciate everybody who came back. And it's funny, everyone had a different answer for it. Yeah, those are my thoughts anyway. And also, yeah, just making it, taking it for cosmetic reasons when you don't need it, which is making it so much harder for the people that do need it, is annoying. Just to be frank, it's just annoying. Okay, anything else? Anything on the live before we delve into the quizzes?
Yes. People are asking how Bodhi is.
Oh, yeah, thanks, guys. So everyone's like, Chloe, don't feel guilty. I'm like, I wasn't even there. Okay? I was not there. This was not on my watch. Not that that matters. Bodhi falls over 10 times a day, every day, but this was a bad one. So she was toddling to the car. And for some reason, I don't know what happened. She tripped up and for some reason did not go to brace, did not go to cushion her fall. And she just went bang right on her face. And apparently, so then I just got a phone call. I was working at the gym. I got a phone call from James and the nanny being like, you need to come home because it's really like profusely prolongedly bleeding. And it's not stopping. And she's been bleeding for like 15 minutes now and it's just not stopping. And her eyes started to go all black and she had like cuts all over her face. So I came back. But in the 15 minutes it then took me to come back, they'd kind of tidied her up to a point where she still looked like a mess. But she was smiling, eating yogurt, like happy. And both James and the nanny were like, I think her nose is broken. Obviously, they both had to go do, well, not the nanny, but James had to go do something else. I would always take Bodhi to the doctor or the A&E, wherever I need to go. I'm not letting anyone take her there. So I was like, right, okay. Took her to the doctor. The doctor were like, no, you need to go to the walk-in. Took her to the walk-in. They were like, no, you need to go to A&E. Took her to A&E and they were like, there's nothing we can do. We can't tell until the swelling goes down. It's very unlikely because of her age and how squishy her bones are. But you need to bring her back like in a week's time and we'll do an X-ray, which I'm probably not going to do, to be honest. Because I'm like, let's just wait and see. But yeah, thanks, guys. It was really shit, but she's fine now. She was fine that night. But thanks for being patient with me. And well done, Emma, for doing the live without me.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, Elizabeth, I'm doing the home workouts. If for some reason I'm out for the weekend or something and don't have access to weights, is it okay to mix it up with the bodyweight workouts? I'm guessing something is better than nothing.
Yes.
Okay, Vicky, just joined. When doing cardio, what's the best heart rate for fat burning? How often should you do cardio for fat loss? Any info on fat loss and cardio would be helpful. I know food is important. I'm already in a deficit. My food is under control.
So you can argue this in so many ways. The answer, as always, is it depends. So obviously, if you're in a slightly higher heart rate zone, you're going to be burning more calories, and that is better for fat loss. However, most people can't sustain a high heart rate level for a long period of time, or even a short to moderate period of time, to be honest. So in that case, we say, okay, let's do moderate intensity, steady state cardio for as long as you can. So that's kind of like, what do they say? It is 70-ish percent of your max heart rate, right, for moderate intensity. So you're kind of sweating and you're out of breath, but you can maintain that for 20, 30, 40 minutes if you had to. And then the, you know, quote unquote fat burning zone is low intensity cardio, and that you could maintain for hours. That would just be like walking around your house, right? That you could maintain for hours, but it's boring and a complete fucking waste of time. So typically we'll be like, moderate, if you can maintain it high, like if you can go for a 5k run as opposed to a 5k walk, do the run. Otherwise go for a 5k walk and try and challenge yourself with, you know, terrain or speed, whatever. So those are the answers. It depends. And I can't remember the final question. Emma, over to you.
Yeah, I think just to explain why people talk about the fat burning zone, you will utilize more fat for fuel at lower intensity exercise. So if, yeah, like Chloe's saying, if you're walking, you'll probably be using mostly fat. When you go to higher intensity, you use more carbohydrate. It doesn't really matter. So the fuel that you utilize during an exercise session doesn't mean that you've lost body fat because you've been using more fat for fuel. It just means that you can break down fat at a lower intensity easier than at a higher intensity, because you need more oxygen to break down fat than you do carbohydrate, right? So if you've like expended more calories because you've worked harder and you've utilized more carbohydrate in your session, at the end of the day, all things being equal, you would be in a bigger deficit and thus you would lose more body fat. So sometimes, you know, like someone's like, oh, do 1 hour in the fat burning zone. It's like, well, if you're holding yourself back by doing that and you could have exercised at a higher intensity and burnt more calories, then actually you would have done better in terms of losing body fat by exercising at a higher intensity. That's where people get a bit confused about like the fat burning zone. What you're utilizing during an exercise session makes no difference to how much body fat you lose. The amount of body fat you lose will be solely your calorie deficit at the end of the day.
Also kind of, we have that, if you look at it in terms of the non-exercise activity we give you in terms of steps, we have that fat burning part of the equation down. And again, it comes back to it being more about calories than anything else, and the amount that you can burn doing NEAT in a day versus the amount you can burn in a workout in a day. So yeah, I wouldn't worry so much about that side of things. But I also just, one of the questions, how much do we care about it for fat loss? It's a nice tool for fat loss. It can aid it a little, you know, 100 calories after a session on a cardio machine in, you know, 20 minutes. Fantastic. Great. But more, we like it because we think cardiovascular health and fitness is important. And I mean, it certainly is for me. Heart disease runs in my family. So yes, I hit my steps and yes, I do my resistance training, but I also make sure for myself that I get cardio in after pretty much every single weightlifting session I do, even if it's just 10 minutes. And it is nice in terms of metabolic health as well. So we do like a little bit of cardio from you guys.
Yeah, agreed. In terms of fat loss, doesn't matter. You don't have to do cardio. You don't even have to exercise to lose fat. You just need to be in a deficit. In terms of health, different, right?
We are exactly all over again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, same principle, isn't it? The other thing to consider as well is if you're someone who struggles to get their steps in, for example, you can top that up with cardio. Fine. Yeah. If you're like, oh, do you know what? It's always raining outside at the moment. I'm going to spend 20 minutes on the cross trainer after my workout instead of going for a walk. Fine. It doesn't, as much as it's steps, it doesn't necessarily need to be steps via walking.
I don't understand, like, how many clients in my life have been like, oh, you know, the kids were off school and it was raining, so we were in the house all week, so I didn't hit my step goal. I am more run off my feet in a day in the house with Bodhi than ever anywhere else. I'm like, how? Where are these sedentary children? How do I get myself one?
Yeah, but Bodhi's extreme.
Extreme.
Rebecca's saying, Hope B is feeling better. I had a mental one and was in A&E more times than I'd like to say.
Wow, sorry.
I've got a horrible feeling that might be the story of your life.
I mean, yeah, like, but I, I don't, does she mean like in her life as a mother, or does she mean recently?
I think she means I had a mental child.
Oh, right, yeah. Oh, yeah, no, yeah. I've already been to A&E, like, I mean, at least 5 times, but it's only a year and a half. I don't even think I've been to A&E that many times in my whole life.
Okay, Pamela, excellent comments, Ozempic, nutrition is key. My overweight son-in-law is taking it, but I know he will go back to a bad diet when he has achieved his weight loss. Thank you, Chloe, for your reply to my low mood plea for help this morning. Okay, Kathy, I find I'm always over in the fat calories and wonder will this make a massive difference in my weight loss? I'm hitting my protein and exercise and step, and I'm in a deficit. No, and we don't have, you can't be over your fat because we've set you a minimum. So you're not over it. I don't know where you're getting those targets from. It might say on your, like on MyFitnessPal or something that you've gone over your fat, but it really doesn't matter as long as you're in deficit. The amount of carbs and fats that you have is more preference than anything. Okay, not a question, but I just wanted to say that after being a podcast lurker for about 12 months, and boy, have those podcasts helped my mindset leading up to joining. I'm really enjoying being on the EC method. I love tracking my calories and all the good stuff, and actually thought I'd hate weighing myself every day, but it's quite interesting to see how the weight fluctuates, especially now my cycle is starting to calm down again. Thank you for all your help and advice to my daft questions too from you both and this lovely community. Oh, so if anyone's listening and is like, yeah, no, I just listened to the podcast, join.
Join. I love that. Thank you for saying that. That's made my day.
Okay, another question. I'm behind my workouts this week. I've only done home weights upper. Can I do home weights lower today, cardio and core tomorrow, and a double day upper and lower on Sunday?
Yes to everything but the double day. Just pick another workout. I'd do lower if I were you.
Yeah, agree. Or just skip cardio and core and do upper and lower.
Oh, guys, I love a bit of cardio and core workout.
Yeah, but
Little
realistically, like a core workout isn't going to be as beneficial
bit.
as
Well,
like. To
it's a cardio and a core workout. It's like a little circuit. Go, sit
be fair,
up.
you wrote it. I haven't seen that workout.
No, I mean, I don't disagree with you. Yeah, when you're working out at home, if you're in a gym, I'd just be like, do a little bit of that workout and then some cardio if you haven't done any of that this week. But it's a little bit different at home. Do whatever you want, babes.
Yeah. But not a double session.
Not a double, so don't do that, babes.
Okay, we're up to date.
So, I
What?
was just thinking about something I was going to tell you about, but I don't know if I should say it. There's another really fit guy in my gym. He's
And
really, he basically's got this like Peaky Blinders haircut, right? And then all up the back of his neck into his like fade, like whatever it's called. He's got this like massive tattoo. So fit.
do you like
So
the tattoo?
tattoo. I like men who look like they can kill me. It's that simple. And I don't know why. I don't know what kind of weird psychological childhood trauma I have. If a guy looks like a fucking gnarly motherfucker, I'm like, you all the way. So guys
Well,
walking.
you can see why from like an evolutionary standpoint, right? Like, oh, okay, he could protect you.
None of my friends fancy the same guys I fancy. None of them. Like a really gnarly looking guy will walk into a bar. My friends will be like, Chloe, look, it's your dream guy. Ugh. And I'm like, oh my God, it really is. Clear out. I don't know. I always got really conflicting like opinions from my friends as to whether or not they thought James was attractive. One of my friends, Courtney, got really drunk once on holiday and she was like, just so you know, everybody wants to fuck your husband. And I was like, what? What? Like, what are you talking about? And the next day she was like, so apologetic. And I was like, no, that's really enlightening because my school friends are all like, ooh, no, not for me. And I'm like, type is a thing. What's your type, Emma?
In a man,
Yeah, and a woman, both. Actually,
I do you know
we
what?
have similar tastes in men.
Huh?
We do have similar tastes in men.
Yeah. I always just dated rugby players, so yeah.
That's me. Oh my God, when I first went to uni,
It
I
is funny that like either petite blondes or rugby players, like could it be more?
yeah, extreme.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me. I think I'd be the same. Not necessarily the blonde. I think I'd be like a
Yeah, I
girl
don't know if I'm actually sold on, like, I mean, it just so happens,
that they
but
take the
yeah,
blonde.
no, I'm not like, oh my God, I can date someone who's not blonde.
I always really fancy like petite brunettes. Anyway, off we go. Let's carry on. Right. Alice, hi both. I was listening to a podcast the other day, which had a nutritionist on as a special guest who proceeded to advise How bad seed oils are, in particular rapeseed oil in oat milk. How bad they are for you because of toxins being held in fat cells. I'm very partial to an oat milk flat white, and I wondered if there's any science behind this, as I really don't want to give these up. I have opinions on this, but I'm going to throw it to Emma because of EIQ. I'll be right back.
Oh, I think my diet is like 40% oat milk. I fucking love it. Which is probably too far. Completely unfounded. Like it, yeah. And also the fact that if you're like, oh, I have an oat flat white twice a day or once a day or whatever, it literally is going to have no impact on your health whatsoever. If your diet was genuinely 40% oat milk, then I probably would think about it slightly more. But to give context, like mine probably is, and I just do not care. Like there is no solid evidence that that has any impact.
No, I completely agree. It was like we used to have this back in the day, do you remember, with like cooking oils and da, 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 da. And it's like, you know what, guys, just don't even worry about it. Just don't worry about it.
Yeah. Especially when you think, oh, like, it's so funny that we get so obsessed with like such a small thing, like, oh my God, should you cook your stir fry with olive oil or
Coconut
coconut
oil.
oil? And it's like,
Yeah.
do you really think that's the problem? Like, it's definitely not the problem. And, even if you were using the quote unquote wrong oil, like the fact that, I mean, like, we obsess over stuff like that. And it's like, you know what is carcinogenic and is toxic? Alcohol.
Yeah, and
100%.
everyone
But
knows.
no one's like, oh my God, you know that. It's like, yeah, we all know that. And then we all still choose to drink. I mean, I don't, but like most people still choose to drink it in moderation, not a problem. But like, if there is one thing that we know for sure has negative outcomes, like there it is, but everyone's obsessing over oat milk.
Oil, I know. I know, I completely agree with you. It's scary how much alcohol I sunk in lockdown. Like, I look back at that and I'm like, oh, thank God lockdown's over. Apparently, I'm not alone in that, though. Apparently, it's a universal truth. Okay, anything on the life before I carry on?
Yes. Elizabeth's just saying, got it. No double session. What's the reasoning behind that, though? My inner geek wants to know. It mainly just recovery and just
And you
the
don't
effort
need
that
to.
you put into a session. Like, I think we all think that we'll do two really good sessions, but you won't. It's not beneficial. You're kind of spinning your wheels after a certain point as well. Like, we'd rather you just had another rest day.
Yeah, there is such a thing as diminishing returns. We want you to get the benefit of having a really great workout. You don't need to go in there and do two. Not only is it unnecessary, but it could also really hinder not only your physical, or I should say your strength and fitness progress as the days pass, but it will also hinder your physique progress. It's not great remuscle hypertrophy to put that, unless you're really adapted to that kind of training, like a Zach George, who's now in the Gladiator as well. Unless you're really adapted to it, like a CrossFitter who's been doing it for 10 years, just don't need it. Just don't need it.
Have you been watching Gladiators?
Oh, have I fuck, Emma? I don't watch that kind of TV. Have you been watching it?
No, of course not. I don't have a TV, but one of my best mates is in it. Well, one of my oldest mates is in it.
Who?
I mean, no, I know her name. I'm trying to
Hey.
think of her Gladiators.
I was like,
And
clearly
I'm
not
like, oh yeah,
my old friend.
one of my oldest friends. What was her name again?
Oh yeah,
Her name
Spanish.
is Shelley, but I can't remember what her gladiator name is.
What would
She's
your gladiator
brilliant. She's honestly, she's like the best person for it ever. Like, I would be absolutely awful, but like, not only is she like badass CrossFitter, but she just has the personality for it as well.
be? Yeah, performers.
Yeah.
They're all on shit, though. Have you seen the photo? I mean, I haven't watched it, but I've seen the photos of them, and I'm like, you're on gear, you're on gear, you're on gear, you're on gear. It's like, what? Anyway,
Yeah,
carry
but
on.
one of them, like, isn't that ex-sprinter Harry Aitken-Zarite? Is he on
I don't know.
it? Or did I just make that up?
I've only seen photos of some of them, and then I saw Zach, and I was like, oh my God, it's Zach. He's a gladiator now. Good for him.
Yeah, I don't think he is. Only because he would have been. I mean, like, actually, who am I kidding? Like, sprinter.
No, look at the fucking World Wrestling Foundation. I mean, this is child's play compared to that. That's why none of those athletes are allowed to promote any kind of supplements or anything like that.
Are they not?
No.
Oh, what? Because most people who promote supplements aren't taking steroids.
I know, but that's a big organization with lots of families and children, people watching, wanting to grow up and be them, and that kind of thing is pretty fucking unethical, I think.
Yeah, no, but so is like having, I don't know, like Mr. Olympia, like promoting, I guess, or is it just because we all
But
know?
that's really niche. WWF isn't niche. I don't like, you can't, I don't want to know how much money they generate versus the Olympias. Do you know what I
Oh,
mean? It
yeah.
would be like, it would dwarf it times 10. Anyway.
I feel like wrestling's quite niche, but maybe it's just,
It's
I'm
not.
thinking.
It's not. It's massive. They sell out. They come to London and they sell out the O2 Arena like night after night after night after night. Like, that's not easy. Ugh. Fuck, you know, I'll talk to you about that after. Okay, next.
Okay. Chloe, has the Travis Keller lookalike been back at the gym?
Twice now, I've seen him twice, and that's it. And I just don't know where he's gone. Also, like, why? I've had one guy since I broke up with James, one guy, and it was unbelievable. Actually, approached me. Emma knows the story, and like, blew my mind. I feel like, and a lot of my friends and like people I know are saying this to me, like, guys don't really approach girls anymore. And I'm like, why? Come chat to me,
You know
bruh.
what? They do in different countries, not here.
No, they
Like
really
whenever
do.
I'm away, yeah, but not here.
What is that?
Guess it's just like different cultures, isn't
It's so base.
it?
Can we just fucking level up everyone? It could be like, Chloe, you go talk to them. I'm like, no.
Oh God, no. Yeah, but that would be like, what would you say?
Hey, I like your dumbbell.
Hey, how long have you been training? You're PT because you look like you're in such good shape.
Can
Did you spot me?
you spot me? Sounds like a bit of me, I'm not gonna lie. The sluttiest one. I'm like, oops, I dropped my weight. Oh.
No, but my girlfriend will spot you. Oh, okay, yeah.
You know what's so funny? No, I can't tell that story either. Okay, next.
Okay. I added my physio exercise, frozen shoulder, and torn medial deltoid to my tracking sheet, which has kept me accountable. I had a physio review yesterday and they were delighted with my progress. New exercises have been added and I feel like I'm killing it. Awesome work.
Toot.
Okay, quick question about maintenance slash build. How does it work? How do you eat enough to build but not, quote unquote, put on fat? I sort of track at about 1850 calories and 5'3" and around 52 kilograms. Do I just add carbs?
If you don't have body fat to lose, and you are eating your maintenance calories, which are always in flux, by the way. But you're eating at your maintenance calories, let's say hypothetically they were a set in stone amount. You're not going to gain muscle, to be honest. People who can do that, who can eat at what, again, hypothetically their maintenance are and gain muscle, either have the body fat to contribute to that because that's stored calories on your body, or they're actually in a slight surplus and don't realize it. But no, you're not just going to be, if, especially if you've been training for a long period of time, you're not just going to start building muscle when you're not eating enough calories to really fuel that muscle growth. Emma, what are your thoughts on that?
Agreed. I would quite like to see progress photos because we'll be able to tell you. It's hard because, yeah, like once we see photos, we'll know how many calories to put you on in order to build muscle. And then the other thing to consider as well is that sometimes you've been training, but you've not been training optimally. So this is another chance of like, okay, are you sleeping well enough? Are you recovering between workouts? Are you optimizing your training and actually progressively overloading? Because sometimes people say, oh, I've been going to the gym for 3 years, so I probably won't build muscle. And it's like, right, okay, well, actually, once we get you on a proper program and you're recovering well and you're eating enough protein and you're sleeping well, then actually, sometimes you can build muscle that around maintenance.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm just reading some of the questions. Go on.
No, that's it. She says she's got some on PT Hub. If you can tag, either put them in the group and tag us, or if you want to send them privately on Instagram, it's probably best.
Yeah. Okay, Erin, what are your thoughts on the Grizz Fizz challenges. I'd love to add one in once a week to spice things up. I don't know what that is. Do you know what that is? If you want to add in a workout that you enjoy to ours once a week, go for it. Fine. Charlotte, what do you think of these? If weak grip, I'm small, but I want to lift heavier. She's talking about straps. I can't really see them, but yes, great idea. If you want to lift heavier and your grip strength is bombing out before your hammies or glutes or back are. Here we go. Lucy, hi both. I hope Bodhi's nose is healing okay and you've recovered from the trauma, Chloe. Yeah. It's more just an inconvenience. I think if I'd been there, I would have been really freaked out, but I wasn't. Any chance you can talk about hypothyroidism and fat loss, please? One of the symptoms is weight gain and difficulty losing weight. But is this one of those things where it's because of the symptoms, like the fatigue, etc., that it makes it more difficult because it changes your behaviours? Or is it more scientific where fat loss is possible, but it may benefit from lower calories or lower carb, like PCOS? I've just been diagnosed with an underactive thyroid and I'm awaiting medication 3 weeks for my next GP appointment. But want to know your thoughts. It's both. It will have reduced your basal metabolic rate. But that could be really insignificant. It depends on how bad your hypothyroidism is. I think the most extreme cases are up to 50%, but that's not the case for everybody. Those are the most extreme cases. So it will have reduced that a bit. And of course, it is really largely, and I would say even more so about your behaviors. And I don't know what you say you're awaiting medication. Yeah, the levothyroxine will help. Emma, hypothyroidism.
Yeah, once you're medicated, there shouldn't, like, in theory, there shouldn't be a problem. I say in theory because getting that dosage of medication right often takes a bit of tweaking, and then sometimes things can change over time. So what was working for you then is no longer working for you. This is why you get it checked frequently. Mm-hmm. Now, and that is often the issue because, like you're saying, then you have symptoms and you may be overeat or your basal metabolic rate drops a bit because your medication isn't quite right. And when we say this, it's not like suddenly, you know, you're only expending 200 calories a day at maintenance. Like it's more subtle than that. But yeah, once you're medicated, then there shouldn't really be an issue, but it's usually to do with that. And then also, and I don't know if this is, no, I'm just wondering whether it's just because smaller women tend to struggle more. And I don't know what size this woman is, right? But I tend to find that, like, hypothyroidism seems to come up in smaller people. I don't know if that's just, like, through my lens of people that struggle with weight loss, and that's why they end up coming to me. And actually, if you're smaller and you have a lower basal metabolic rate already, and then it's impacted again, and then we live in an obesogenic environment, and you have to diet on lower calories, then obviously you're going to struggle more. But that is something I've noticed. And so then there's just also the added complication of you're a small woman, and now maybe you're maintenance is even slightly lower than what it would have been if you didn't have hypothyroidism. So there might be that element too.
So that's such an interesting point.
Yeah.
Anything on the live?
Yeah, okay. Your glands hurt.
They're really bad.
I have a new spot developing here. I don't think you can see it yet.
I've got one. Something's happening with my ear. On one ear, I've got my fourth spot in as many days. Something here has happened. I don't know what.
Has your rash gone?
No, not really. Like, yeah, it's not as bad, but, like, I'm still really, like, red and dotty.
That's been so long.
I know. It's really sad. And I could probably get rid of it quicker if I keep going on sunbeds, but obviously I'm, like, I have a cutoff point with that. I've already done two, and I'm, like, I don't want to do another one.
Yeah. Okay. Elizabeth, read an article today that said women can gain 1 pound of muscle per month and should be benching 60 kilograms after a year. This blew my mind. I can only bench 36 kilograms after 2 years. Do you think it's nonsense? Yeah, that's absolutely like it's just such a generic. Oh, every woman should be able to build 1 pound of muscle and thus bench 60 kilograms. By the way, I know, you know, like within the fitness industry, very strong women, and barely any of them can bench 60 kilograms.
How much did she just say she benched, this client?
36.
But it's better than me. I'm 35.
And I mean, like, I can bench 60, but only just. Like, that's like one rep max territory. is I think that's like I would be surprised if like the top 5% of women could bench 60 kilograms. Like that's a big bench.
All right, Emma, talk it up.
No, but I mean, it is.
It's a huge bench. It's a picnic bench, if you will.
It's bloody massive.
Fuck me, that's a big bench.
Well, I even think like in powerlifting, that's quite
that's huge. I think the fact that I think it, being in like 30, the 30 kgs and above is like pretty good. Like I, and me, I'm cool too. It's hard, and especially for like it's a hard lift. It's really
Yeah,
hard.
Samantha's asking if they mean 60 pounds.
No, I could. I there's two women in my gym who I've seen bench 60. Again, only for like 2 to 3 reps. Absolute, like that's the end game. But I've seen it happen. If I've seen it happen, then it's definitely a thing. And it is very possible to gain a pound of muscle mass a month for newbies or beginners to weightlifting. Very, very possible. But that will slow down. Otherwise, we'd look like those cows. What are those cows called?
Belgian blues.
Belgian blues, and we don't, guys. We don't look like that.
I can't remember if it's we don't have myostatin inhibitors or we do have myostatin inhibitors. I think it's that we do.
We do have
myostatin.
Yeah, we do, and they don't, and but that will that rate of gaining will slow down the longer you've been lifting for, and as well, things have to be pretty optimal for that to happen. The rest, the volume, the protein, sleep. I mean, yeah. The lack of alcohol, which will play a role.
Yeah. You know Jodie, who I went to South Africa with?
Yeah.
She can bench 100 kilograms.
Fuck off. That's a joke. Is she
I know.
On-
well, she is going to the World Powerlifting Championships. Do you know what was wild? I was like, oh, like... It just came up in conversation, but I was like, oh, like, are you taking creatine? She's like, what's creatine?
Yeah, that's always the way with them. Always the way. They're like the most impressive athletes. You like the
I was
guy.
Like, babe, you should be taking, like, I was like, if there's one person who should be taking this as powerlifter, like.
100%. I remember a guy who used to do all of the big physique shows, Darren. He was fit and he was winning everything, like absolutely everything. And I remember talking to him in the gym once. He was like laughing at me for having like rest between training abs. I don't know why. And I was asking him about his diet, and he was like, "Yeah, you do that like." And this wasn't that long ago. He's like, "You do that like tracking thing, right?" And I was like, "Yeah, do you not do that?" And he was like, "Nah." He was like, "I just eat like my carbs and my protein, you know, every 3 hours and bro science. It works. It's inaccurate, but it works."
Yeah. Okay, we'll just finish on this, which is a reminder to everyone not to go on sunbeds because Anne is getting a chunk out of her leg next week. And she, yeah, wow.
Well,
okay, just quick question to finish. On Tuesday, I grabbed the wrong weight for tricep dips. I had been using 20 lb dumbbell and grabbed the 25 lb. I only barely managed 8 reps and then realized it was heavier than usual. Is this what I'm looking for? Should I stick with that? Stay within the rep range, as heavy as you can within the given rep range with good form.
Yeah, nothing to add.
All right, okay.
Have a good weekend, everyone.
Bye.